Good morning, and first of all, thanks for joining us here on the show, Behind the Goals. You're talking to me, John Winnan, and in the studio we've got Anthony Smith, my co-host, and we've got one of our valued listeners, Freo supporter, Mike from Palmyra, one of our most valued listeners here in the studio with us as well. Lee, we just want to talk to you this morning about the forward line of North Melbourne. Just a couple of questions for you. I want to start you out on, I want to get some thoughts on Paul Curtis. He's a favourite of mine. I want to see where you think his ceiling is and if he's close to it or if he's got a lot more room to move.
No, firstly, thanks for having me, guys. He's definitely got a lot more room for improvement. He burst onto the scene last year in his first year, I suppose, playing 14 or 15 games, and he's probably just had this year a little bit of the second year blues to start the year, down on a little bit of form, but his second half of the year we've been really, really happy with. He's played some multiple roles, whether it's been as a high half forward, a little bit of midfield time, but we've probably seen him I probably see him long term being a little bit in the Jamie Elliott mould, where he can play close to goal, really dynamic, really, really strong, and really powerful. So that's where we've tried to play him a little bit more in this back half of the year, and that's probably where we see him playing his best footy. But we think he's going to be a really good player for a really good, really long time for us.
Oh, fantastic to hear. Levi, Anthony here. Cheers for coming on, man. I do have a question just around your role as assistant coach there and how it changes in terms of, because we've been talking about, you've obviously had Clarkson there this year, you've had Ratten there. Clarkson was coaching from the boundary versus Ratten coaching in the box. How does your kind of role change in that when one's in the box and one's on the sideline? Like, does anything change for you at all?
Not a lot for me in particular and the other line coaches. When we've got Rat's coaching, he's up in the box and we're able to have those conversations obviously as the game's unfolding, whereas when Clarko's on the bench, Clarko has a direct line to Rat's in the box, and then basically the conversation goes through Rat's, and then Rat's is the one that will then communicate with Clarko what we're thinking up in the box.
Yeah.
And then Clarko will make the decision downstairs. So it's a little bit, probably just takes a little bit longer in terms of getting that message down, but in terms of from an assistant coach line point of view, nothing really changes for us up in the box.
Yeah, fantastic. I was just wondering how that affects it. Also, I just want to ask you as well, you guys drafted Harry Sheasel in, and he was killing it in his underage as a half forward, essentially. As a forward coach, were you thinking you were about to get this gun forward into your forward line there, and you kind of haven't had him at all?
You're not wrong, mate. He spent, I would say, 75% to 80% of the preseason as a forward. And just mainly through probably necessity in the end, we just felt like through the early parts of the preseason practice games that we just weren't able to move the ball with any consistency out of our back half. What we feel like we've got is some really strong defensive players in our back half that probably aren't as offensively gifted as Harry Sheasel in particular. So clearly we feel like that was going to be a big problem for us, was getting the ball out of there. And if we're able to move the ball out of our back half, we probably weren't needing as much star power up in our forward half in particular. So the decision was made basically just before round one to try Harry off halfback, and he's going that well there that I don't think I'll be seeing him anytime soon.
It's been unfortunate, isn't it? Now, I do have a quick question about just in terms of you like cutting up vision, getting ready to play this game that you're coming into. Now, do you look back at the first time you played West Coast, or do you look back at, say, last week playing West Coast? Because obviously they're not going to have the key positions there in Barris and McGovern. So Larky's going to be playing things a bit differently coming up against, say, a Bazo or someone like that. I mean, Brady Hoff went to Curno last week to start the game. Do you know what to really expect there? Like, how do you approach that?
Yeah, I did a fair bit of work over the last week or so looking at McGovern and Barras the last time we played, and then the last time they played together against Richmond a couple of weeks ago. And then as the week progressed, and then the squads were to come out, we then turned our focus a fair bit more to the last game v Carlton, where you said Huff and Bazo were their key defenders. So yeah, we've got a decent handle on what we think will happen down there. But clearly, when you're coming up against West Coast and you're not sure of what the team's going to look like as a forward coach, you're putting a fair bit of time and effort into Barras and McGovern, and then that obviously changed pretty quickly once they weren't in the squad.
Fantastic. Now, Lee, we've got a debutant from Western Australia playing today, Robert Hanson Jr. Tell us what to expect from him today.
Yeah, we're really excited to give Rob a game. He obviously came over from Subiaco as a small forward, and he's got some real class and speed in their front half, and it's probably something that we don't have in abundance up there, is those guys that can really cover the ground with speed. So we're looking forward to getting him in. 2-3 weeks ago, he kicked 4 goals against Geelong in a VFL game, and they've come off a bye, the VFL team, so he's had a week off. We just thought it was a great opportunity in front of his home crowd to get him over here. And basically all we're looking for him is to get up the ground, to provide some outlet for us, get to the front and centre as much as he can and put some forward pressure on. And if he's able to do that, I'm sure with his class, he'll get a couple of shots on goal as well. Hopefully he can make the most of them today. But we're really excited to see how he goes.
All right, so I've got a last one here for you, Lee. Thank you once again for joining us, man. Really appreciate it. But just a fun one to throw out there. Look, we won't get it back to him before the game, just so it doesn't go to his head, right? But just between us and the listeners now, how many do you expect from Nick Larkley today? Because forwards have been filling up against West Coast. There's even been talk that West Coast is somehow bringing the Coleman race into disrepute. Like, what are you thinking here?
Yeah, we have had a chat with our forward line about making sure that we continue to just play our roles and not get sucked up to get into individual awards. But, Nick kicked 3 last week. He kicked 6 against West Coast last time with McGovern and Barras in there. So we'd like to think that he'd be able to break 50 today. So if he can get to 50 today, we'd be pretty happy. But our major concern is making sure we get enough inside 50. That's one thing we've really struggled throughout this year, is to get the ball inside 50. Once we've got it in there, we've actually been okay from a scoring rate. But our midfield's going to have a fair say on how many Larks can kick today. So if they can get the clearance job done and take some territory, I'm sure with the class of Larks, he'll put some score on the board from there.
So have you just been throwing that back to the midfield team? Have you just been like, well, we're doing the job, just get it to us? Like, come on, what are you doing?
That's the beauty of being a forward coach. You always blame someone up the field for your mistakes. So if the Larks doesn't kick a bag and we don't score much today, that'll always be on the midfielders and defenders, not us.
Lee, do you ever sit your forwards down and make them watch round 20, 2009, where you were best of field against West Coast kicking 3? Have you ever shown the players that? Is that kind of the standard you set?
It's probably on VHS. It was that long ago. I'm sure I'll be able to get my hands on it. But
I'm sure you've got a copy lying somewhere. Yeah, right?
You've got it. We know.
I'm sure I can find it somewhere. But yeah, I know. Half these guys are that young. They probably don't even remember me playing. So
that's probably true.
Yeah.
Well, you're coming up against Praddy this week, assistant coach on the other side. Do you have any words with him?
I haven't spoken to Praddy for a couple of weeks, actually, but hopefully we can I can get one up on him today, and we can get a big score on the board. But I'm looking forward to catching up with him after the game. And a few of the other North Melbourne guys are sort of seems to have taken over West Coast, the coaching staff, the Kangaroos. So it'll be good to catch up with a few guys after the game.
Yeah, they certainly have for the last couple of years since the likes of Drew Petrie came over. Lee, thanks very much for joining us here on Behind the Goals. We really do appreciate it, and best of luck for the game today.
No worries, guys. Thanks for having me.
Cheers. See you later. All right, there you have it. That was Lee Adams, the North Melbourne assistant coach, the forward coach there. Now,
what a legend.
That was a very good chat. A few insights, and you know, Paul Curtis is obviously one of my favourites on that side. What we didn't talk to him about though was when you were a North Melbourne member last year. We should arrange that one.
I'm still getting calls from them. It's amazing.